Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Gittin Nun Zayin, Gittin 57a, pagination is 113. We have a section of Gemara over here dealing largely with the Churban, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And I'd like to mention a number of the important Gemaras from this section that come up in discussion quite often regarding perspectives on Tisha B'Av and the transition of the Jewish community from the Second Jewish Commonwealth to the exile that we're in today. The Gemara tells us on the facing page that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in Yerushalayim at the time of the final siege, and he asked to be allowed out so that he could dialogue with the Roman general and be able to see what he could still negotiate. The Gemara makes it clear that he did not see that he could negotiate that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be destroyed. But he did take this bold initiative and got himself smuggled out of the siege in order to dialogue regarding three requests. The Gemara tells us about 10 lines into the medium wides. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told him, Ten li Yavne v'chacha meha, grant me the city of Yavne, which was a place of scholarship where the Sanhedrin was meeting. Grant me that you don't destroy Yavne and you don't destroy its sages. He understood that if the Sanhedrin could survive the destruction, then instead of having the Beis HaMikdash as the centrality, meaning a location that was the capital city, the Jewish people would be able to survive the exile with Torah as its center. And Torah is mobile. It could move from city to city, from place to place. And ultimately, it would be Torah that would get us through the Galus. Vishu Shilta de Rabban Gamliel, he requested that the chain of Rabban Gamliel, meaning the legacy, the father-son lineage of the family of Rabban Gamliel, which is essentially Malchus Beis David, the family of David, they were no longer kings, but they were leaders, that chain should be preserved. And we should still have that type of leadership, even if the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. Va'asvasa demasyon le Reb Tzadok, and a doctor for Reb Tzadok. Again, we see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's tremendous perception. Reb Tzadok fasted for decades that the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed, and his body was extremely weak and needed special doctors to wean him off of his fasting and back into eating. And he requested those special doctors. So again, three requests. One is the Torah legacy. One is the Davidic dynasty. And one is that Reb Tzadok, who put himself out to avoid the destruction, should be granted healing from his condition. Continuing in the Gemara on the bottom of Nedzayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara has a series of stories, great tragedies at the time of the Churban. One of them is the story of Beitar, which was the great city, Bar Kokhba's last stand against Rome, and when the Romans finally breached the city and got in, they destroyed Anoshim Noshim Vetaf, tremendous losses, tens of thousands of people. And Sheva Shanim Botsru Ovde Kochavim Es Karmehen Midaman Shal Yisrael Below Zevel. For 7 years, the non-Jews fertilized their vineyards from the blood of that destruction. Our generation has already documented such tragedies. The Nazis did the same type of destruction, but theirs was more sanitized. They tried to keep it quiet what they were doing. But they, although they didn't have the overt brutality of Roman culture, but we're aware that people can stoop to tremendous evil. On Amud Beis, the Gemara relates the story of Nebuzradon. Nebuzradon killed hundreds of thousands of Jews at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara relates that he found blood, which was the blood of Zechariah the Navi, that was mirasech, that was bubbling. And he saw it, and he saw there was something spiritual about it, so he asked what it's all about. And he was told that Zechariah was a Navi, he was a prophet, and kamochachlon b'mili d'shmaya, he would give rebuke to the people, and the people didn't want to hear his rebuke, so they killed him. And that was one of the great criticisms, the great rebukes that existed against the people, that they did wrong, they were rebuked, and the dynamic of the Jewish people is that the rebuke of a Navi is supposed to be Hashem's way of setting us straight. And they didn't accept the rebuke, and instead did him in. And Nebuzradon came and, in his mind, tried to atone for that blood by killing and creating tremendous tragedy. Interestingly, the Gemara tells us, Hirher tshuva b'daitei, Nebuzradon, at the end of his killing, realized the ramifications and did tshuva, and Igayer, he actually converted to Judaism. Midway on the page, at the beginning of the line, the Gemara tells us a story from the second Beis HaMikdash. Ma'ase bedalad meos yeladim v'yeladoz, there were hundreds of young boys and girls, shenashvu likalon, that were captured for a profession, a role of ill repute. The girls were going to be given out as pilakshim, as concubines, to their captors, and the boys were going to be used, lemishkav zachar, for immoral purposes. Hergishu ba'atzman, they realized what was going on. Amru, they said, imanu tovim bayom, they posed the question, if we drown ourselves in the sea to avoid such a fate of immorality, anu ba'in l'chaye ha'olam haba, will we be granted the world to come? Is it considered a righteous deed? Darash lohen agadol shabahen, the elder among them affirmed, ashiv mimitsulos yam, that Hashem would bring back even from the depths of the sea, and the girls jumped in. Nasu yiladim kalvachomer ba'atzman, the boys made a kalvachomer. They said the girls had the fortitude to do that, and a woman, it's at least natural, even though it's abusive, etc. It's immoral, but at least it's a natural bonding, so to speak. Anu she'en darkenu lekach, we're going to be used for an abnormal purpose. Alachas kama v'kama, we should certainly have the fortitude to do what the girls did. Afheim koftzu l'soch hayom, they too jumped into the sea. Taisvis poses the interesting question, are they entitled, indeed, to kill themselves, to commit suicide, to avoid such a fate? And Taisvis suggests that they weren't just going to be assaulted, it was going to be an ongoing oppression, which they would not have the strength to object to on an ongoing basis, and therefore they were correct in doing what they did. May Hashem protect us, may we be zocha to learn the lessons of the Churban, and be zocha to the Geula Shelema, Bekarov.